Welcome to TSW After Dark Side. Like and subscribe with all of your hatred, and your journey towards fandom will be complete.
Jen went ahead and watched Luther without me.
That's so harsh.
Right at the end of a cliffhanger.
She is taking the piss.
Bang out of all you are, Jen.
Steve, I know you want to take off, but I do want to just get your thoughts on this PlayStation VR.
Oh, right, okay. I can give you those. I've been reading a lot about it.
Oh, very exciting.
What do you think of it? Because I think it looks pretty cool. And I am recording, by the way. So you.
I don't think VR is what would I equate it to? A 3D thing. Because okay. VR is everything. It's 3D. It's immersive. It's movable, as in you move inside the game. It's everything all in one. And I do think it's awesome. The only thing I'm a bit gutted about is No Man's Sky is not coming out with it, or at least they haven't revealed it. There are 50 games at release, though, and 50 experiences, I would say, rather than games. There are games, but there are. There's a very good one. You ever seen the film Walk the Line?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that is coming out, and it's officially
what? Sort of
made by the people, and it is you on a tightrope between the Twin Towers.
Oh, right.
Oh, sorry. You don't mean the Johnny Cash biopic?
No, not Walk the Line. Sorry. Is it called The Walk? Sorry.
You will feel like you are inside Reese Witherspoon.
Yes. No, what's it called? Not
Take
Walk the
my
Line.
Money.
Oh man, what's it called? The Walk. The Long Walk.
There's the feature
man
film
on
is
a wire.
The Walk, and Man on Wire is the dog.
Bloody hell, Steve!
What the... Yes,
oh, it's not. Oh, it, yeah,
I've
man,
just named every film except
Walk
one.
The Line. Walk the Line. Let me think. Walk on the Wild Side. no, it's Caddyshack. Caddyshack. Sorry,
Caddyshack.
Guys.
That's the one. That looks
on
quite
the wire.
Good.
No, the wire.
It's categories.
I mean, I'm not really interested in those type of experiences, but I am interested in the whole thing. I mean, that it's an OLED display, which was kind of being questioned earlier on. Yes. In the year, in the late last year, they thought they weren't going to go OLED, but they are, which is good. So your
that's
contrast
awesome.
Is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's
it's
awesome.
Not. There's a separate process. If you've seen the actual picture of all the gubbins that you get with it, it's
yeah,
like
it's huge,
there's
isn't
so
it?
Many wires because everything has to split into two so that you can yeah. get people to watch the TV while you're playing. And
that's
this
the one
is
thing,
interesting.
Yeah.
Go on, Rob. Jump
I was
in there.
Say, that's the one thing that was kind of making me a little uneasy was the idea that it was, you know, the future when it was the most anti-social gaming experience I could think of. But I'm glad to see that, like you said, all the splitter cables yeah. are designed to make it possible for people to see it, at least see what you're doing, even if they can't interact. So they've gone some way towards allaying my fears there. Sorry, carry on.
And no, look, the other thing is, I'm almost certain now at E3 they are going to reveal that they are going to hardware upgrade the consoles. And
I think
so you will get an incremental, have the opportunity to get an incremental upgrade
I've
so that you can. Go on, Rob. Have you
I've heard
that?
Rumblings. I've heard yeah. There's rumblings of a PlayStation 4.5.
Yeah, and an Xbox
One. Be interesting.
5. But it yeah. will be GPU. But you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously Xbox is the one that really needs doing because they still are underpowered. I mean, the new game, the one about stopping time, is it Quantum?
Quantum Break.
Quantum Break.
I'm breaking that.
That's running at 720p. There were 50
really?
Games on the original Xbox, the first Xbox, not the second or the third, the first one.
Yeah.
There were 50 games on that running at 720p 16 years or 11, wow. 12, whatever years ago.
Yeah.
No, 16 years ago. 16 years ago.
Yeah. I did not know it was running at 720p.
It is running at 720p.
But,
and this is ridiculous in 2016 because they've made underpowered consoles. So it is. And with the VR, they are making a separate processor box to allow you to obviously, because you wouldn't be able to run three screens, which is essentially what it's doing.
Yeah.
Running three screens isn't a problem, but they're three different screens. One's two-dimensional, one's the
yes.
left eye, and one's the right eye. So
that's the problem, isn't it? Because, I mean, historically in console, one of the reasons that obviously players love local multiplayer because it's hilarious fun. Developers used to hate it because you had to render four separate instances of the same game in order for it to work properly. So it was really difficult to kind
Golden
of to harness properly. Yeah, exactly like GoldenEye. That was exactly that was, it. So that, you know, that one was kind of pared down to sort of to get in as much as they could, but it worked out well, obviously, because everybody bloody loves it, and with good reason. But you know, it's nice to see they're kind of looking at technological ways to solve these problems. I mean, I've you know, obviously, like I said before, I'm kind of platform agnostic. I have all the consoles, so I don't have a sort of a horse in the race. I don't really see the big, I don't see a big problem with power on any of the systems. You know, to me, all the games look really good. I'd have been happy. You know, I'm probably going to come across as a technological heathen, even though I enjoy the tech. But I'd have been happy if they'd just kind of kept the graphics at the same sort of standard as something like Resident Evil 4 and expanded the worlds instead and kind of built on the other elements, because the graphics at that point were really good. And I don't think we actually needed to kind of go... The more we go towards this kind of photorealistic stuff, the more, to me, it becomes more obvious that we're playing a game, because actually they never quite get it right.
No.
Even something like FIFA, that, you know, is kind of, oh, we scan in the face of the players, but they don't get the skin tone right, so it looks, they look like they're wearing, you know, sort of plastic masks of Lionel Messi.
But this is kind of what I was saying to Mark earlier. For me, it is, I'm a bit of a graphics whore, but it's not about the graphics. When they, you know, when machines become more powerful, it's the dynamic stuff, the AI and the stuff that's not necessarily visual. But and then the world size and stuff like that, and the loading times and the stuff that gets in the way of your gaming and can enhance it, like things like weather and like the new Frostbite engine, not Frostbite, Snowdrop ending in
Snowdrop Division. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, the snow lays and then it melts when the sun comes out, and that's that kind of stuff is awesome. That to me is wow. That's a wow moment.
Yeah.
So I think the trouble is, for developers, is that when you've got a console, it's easy, it's lovely to develop for. They know everyone's got the same one.
Yeah.
They can eke every ounce of power out of it, because they're all developing from the word go on the same platform.
Yep.
When you start having different versions of consoles, it is gonna put a spanner in the works. But
that is a problem, yes.
I don't care, I'm a graphics whore and an everything else whore. I like power, and I think I would go and buy one. And with VR, personally, even without No Man's Sky, I'm probably going to get one, even though they're £350.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that the price is competitive, because one of the things I talked about in the first After Dark Side, I think it was how I'd heard a rumored price point that they were going to be twice that, and I was saying, get the fuck out of here, that's never going to fly.
Yeah.
And I mean, but at the same time, I also ranted about PlayStation Now being twice the price it needs to be last week. So it's not like they haven't got form for it.
No.
So I'm glad that they've kind of gone with a more sensible price point. Me personally, I love the tech. I think the tech is incredible, but it's not for me. Just personally,
you will have to buy Move and a camera as well.
That's the other thing is I've vowed never to buy a Move on principle. So I'm very, you know. It goes against every fiber of my being. Now, I have a Kinect, but I actually make use of it on my Xbox for little things that make my experience a bit less, you know, disjointed. It's a bit more seamless to kind of get around and do the bits behind the scenes so I can focus on the game. So that's quite nice in that respect. The Move, to me, it's always been pain.
The Move is kind of... I've used one once, but I think with the VR, it might find its niche. But I think the VI in general is going to require a try before you buy approach. You're 100%. Not going to appreciate it, are you, unless you've actually been immersed.
Now, I've done a VR thing before, because I work in the gaming, the sort of online gaming industry in the casino space.
Yeah.
So I've been to trade shows where I actually got to play with an Oculus Rift on my face, and as opposed to anywhere else, I don't know. Cocculus Rift, as you comes with a lot of cables. I never quite understood it.
And what was it like? What was your experience?
It's weird because it's very.
Was it laggy?
It was very basic graphically. I will say that. So I played to give you an idea was a kind of virtual casino, which you walked around with an Xbox 360 controller.
Right.
So you sort of use that for the movement, because they didn't have one of those. Here's the thing, right? Sorry to go off on a bit of a tangent, but that's kind of what this show has become.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of videos of people doing the VR headsets running around in little tiny, in little movement cages to kind of get that, to restrict their movement. Now, I could have sworn that one of the objections to things like Kinect was that you'd look stupid dancing around in your living room. In what way are these cages an improvement?
Yeah, and a lot of them have treadmills on them, in them and stuff.
Yeah, it's just omnidirectional ones.
It's stupid.
It just
looks ridiculous. And these, like I say, I wouldn't mind, except these are the same people who used to tell me, oh, you know, Kinect must make you look like a right tit in your living room. It's like, well, yeah, it does, but at the same time, I'm having so much fun, it doesn't matter.
I think that's the best bit of... that's a sidist comment. What's wrong with left tits?
Yeah.
You look like a right tit, you could look like a left
nothing
tit.
At all. Sidist. Nothing at all. Despite lots of evidence, that, you know, despite lots of publication to the contrary, I'm an equal opportunity tittist.
The best bit of tech I ever saw and that didn't come out was Illumiroom.
Oh, now, yeah, that was awesome.
Stunning.
Was that and where it expands Xbox, the screen off the edges?
That's right.
Mm. Everywhere, and it scans in all your furniture, and you can turn everything in your room into cartoon furniture or Star Wars furniture
or cover in a shooter, things like that.
Yeah, or it can pour water out of your ceiling all over your furniture and drip off, and it looked like it was real because it's in your room.
You and just like was, a screensaver, don't you, Steve?
Yeah. The Xbox One it had about the tenth of the power it needed to do it. That was the problem. But yeah. Fantastic concept.
I like the idea of the HoloLens. Have you seen that?
Yes, that is pretty much that's the VR version of what Steve was just talking about, isn't it? The HoloLens.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Exactly. Yeah.
It looks really cool. I saw them playing Minecraft with it at E3, and I was like, oh my God, how much is this going to be? Because that's, you know, I imagine it's going to be expensive, but to be honest, that would be pretty cool.
Mm. It did look amazing.
Here's what I would use PlayStation VR for.
Okay, go on.
Films. Imagine if
that would look cool.
This is the only way you could get an IMAX screen in your house.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Imagine, like, I've just learned recently that. I've been told, although I haven't got any evidence to support this claim, that the Force Awakens Blu-ray has an IMAX mode on it. So if you engage the IMAX mode, your screen pops open during the escape from Jakku from the 2:35:1 to full screen. Now, you imagine if you're watching that on your PlayStation VR... but you're watching it on a screen that's multi-stories high, and you have to turn your head to see the left to the right of the screen. You could get you could get a full-on IMAX experience in 3D.
Yeah. I don't know if I want...
Not at HD. Not in full 4K, though. Because they're only 960, aren't they?
I don't know if I'd want the full IMAX experience, because when I went to see it, some dickhead was really noisy next to me.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I won't do that again.
Well, maybe now I've called you out on the podcast, you won't.
Mom, why are they not... why are they popping the screen only in one bit? Why don't they just do the whole thing in IMAX?
It was only shot, that scene was the only native IMAX cinematography. It's like the Dark Knight. The Dark Knight does
it. I was going to say, with the city scene.
Yeah, but that's done really well.
Where he flips a truck.
Yeah,
where it flips it over with the sort of the garrote wire almost.
The opening scene does it, and then there's the bit where he jumps off the tall building, and parachutes down when he goes to Hong Kong to steal that guy, the accountant. So it does it there. They really plan their shots well, though, the Nolan brothers. So they knew what they were doing going in. They knew that you weren't going to cut backwards and forwards. If you watch one of the Transformer movies, they do it in there. But it's not planned very well. So you cut from IMAX format back to scope, back to IMAX, back to scope. Yeah. It's
when they're showing you the Romeo and Juliet card from his wallet, they go to IMAX.
No,
so you definitely can't sue us.
That's him. That's future Han Solo.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I will be interested. And if they announce in the next 3 or 4 months, because it's coming out in, what is it, October? I can't remember now.
That sounds right. This year, I think, for sure.
If they announce No Man's Sky is coming out with it, I will go online that moment and order one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you have my
high praise indeed. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm already getting these special edition of No Man's Sky. I've pre-ordered it.
I'm very much a fan of the tech. I want it to do well. But I won't necessarily be buying one I'd have to play it to see if it would appeal to me. But on the face of the limited amount of play I've had, I'm not quite sold on it. Well, okay. Like I said, I think the tech is awesome, but it's just not, it didn't grab me in a way that made me think I've got to have one of these, which I will say, when it comes to convention stuff, having gone to things like Eurogamer Expo in the past, usually if I play something and like it at a convention, I will get one as soon as it comes out. Mm. Like I did with Shadow of Mordor, not last Eurogamer, the Eurogamer before. And that when that came out, I bought it day one because I was so excited to play it from playing it, because that game's fucking awesome.
Mm. I bought that, you know, and never played it and sold it.
Oh, dude. Oh.
I know.
Oh, that game's so good. It's like all the problems I've got with Assassin's Creed fixed. You know, I mean, obviously...
It's open world as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I've heard it would make a real kind of hardcore Tolkien fan's eye twitch because some of the stories take some liberties. But, you know, in terms of gameplay, it's one of the best experiences I've had so far in this generation of consoles. Just superb.
Hmm. Are you getting No Man's Sky, Rob?
Oh, I probably will. Yeah, I would have thought so. I
mean, we could make it our mission to meet up in the universe because that's going to be almost impossible.
Like a space age love story.
Yeah,
star-crossed by across and an Mark entire galaxy.
He could be the interloper.
God, Steve! I'm feeling a YouTube series.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
This kind of, you know, both streaming our games, just trying to kind of identify where the other one is, and just kind of soft music and
lots of
lovely camera angles.
Steve, Mark, you should get PSN for that game.
I'm starting a YouTube series of me playing Donkey Kong Country on my Game Boy. So you'll be able to find that on the Talk Styles YouTube channel.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious.
I'm disappointed, actually.
I'm most likely not going to get No Man's Sky because I still subscribe to my theory that it is just, in fact, a screensaver and you're being duped.
I've spent money on stupid stuff.
When I get it, you can screen share Mark from the PS4. Mark. Oh, no, you can't. You haven't got PSN.
No, I haven't got PSN. I'm not going
to
play. I'm not going to pay to play.
I will say this on the air, right? So I've got the strong desire to do some sort of game stream, and I just bought, as an aside, a couple of the old redone Star Wars PS2 games that they've released on PS4 recently.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So if the listeners of both Talk Star Wars and Emotionally 14, because I'm going to put this out to the listeners there too, want to see me play Star Wars Bounty Hunter, then let me know via Twitter. Somehow, you know, create a hashtag if you want. I can't think of a good one off the top of my head, but feel free to kind of try and get something going. I would love to do something like that. And if somebody would be willing to suggest a game that, one, I've got, that's really helpful. And two, it's just a more unnecessary expense, isn't it, at that point, if I'm not. But I'm very much up for doing some sort of, like, you know, some sort of YouTube streaming content. So, you know, if somebody wants to see that, then let me know.
That sounds like a plan. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yes, I probably, in answer to all of that garb we've just spewed out, I would say maybe is my answer. Rob's a no. Mark's a no. So
I'm probably a no. I think the only way I would get that technology is if somebody has the brain fart of developing IMAX content for it. So that I was at a loose end, which I never am, and wanted to watch an IMAX movie, which I don't own, then I could pop on that expensive headset and watch it on my
own. In 3D, because obviously you can watch it in 3D, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would look fantastic, and it would be a really good secondary use for that. But the way consoles seem to go, they seem to be focusing mainly on gaming now and less about being used for other areas or home entertainment. Yeah.
What would you do? Hmm. What about if they made a cinema one where you could actually look around and see the seats and see the inside of the movie theater?
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. As long as I don't turn around, there's a slasher behind me.
Yeah, they did that. Not for VR, but they did it. Do you remember PlayStation Home?
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah. So you used to be able to wander around this little virtual town with an avatar, and you could go into a theater and watch movie trailers. And it looked like a cinema. So what would happen is you'd sort of walk in, sit down in the seat, and then it would just take you to the screen, and it would blow the thing up to full screen, and you'd watch the trailer, and then you'd walk the little avatar out of the cinema and do other stuff. And it was shit.
Excellent.
It didn't help. Maybe it's like the world's worst car salesman.
Like, you just sold it to us completely and then said, by the way, this is shit.
Look at this car, right? It's beautiful. It's, you know, it's brand new V32 engine. I don't know what the fastest one is at the moment. But it does 3 miles to the gallon. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. You can't actually, you can't drive it out because it runs out of fuel before you reach the exit.
Before you get off.
Yeah, it'll get you to the next forecourt.
Right, Jennifer, I've got to shoot because I'm being luthered.
In fact, it might be a good idea if we call this a short one this week. Right. Because
can I just do a quick one actually?
Yeah, Steve, do you want to stay on for this or are you going to jump off?
Go on.
You do. If it's 2 minutes, I'll stay.
Two minutes. Right. So I like to think that when I'm on a podcast, I have a social responsibility to the listeners to recommend them things that I think might be useful to that for them to know. Right. So I will say this. Having had my new flat for a couple of weeks, I will say that Sky Fiber speeds and Sky Fiber stability are fucking fantastic. Oh. But their wireless channel detection software is fucking balls. Because we moved in a couple of weeks ago. We had Sky connected up the week before last, and instantly we started having issues where we weren't even getting close to what we were promised in terms of speed. So we were promised kind of speeds in the range of 25 to 34 megaseconds, which to me is 10 times better than I had before, so I'm well up for that. After about a week, I think the best we'd had was 20, and the worst we'd had was like 0.5. I was like, something's not right here. So I went on the little hub page thing, and looked at the wireless channel. And I had this. There's a software you can get. It's a perfectly legal free software download that tells you what wireless networks are in range and what channel they're on. And there were three on the same channel within the same building. And I can't help but think, if your wireless channel detection software can't tell that it's in use by two other machines, it's a bit shit.
Yeah.
And sure enough, as soon as I changed it to the next, I just upped it from 11 to 13. So obviously, if you live in my building and now you're thinking, oh, 13's a good channel, get the fuck back the fuck off. It's mine.
It's channel wrong.
But ever since I've changed it, 25 plus consistently, and it's just been great. You know, it's been really stable. It's been really useful. It's been fantastic for this. I mean, I uploaded the next E14 podcast. I finished editing last night, so I started uploading it, started doing the final touches to getting it all published and stuff. This morning, I uploaded the video to YouTube. Is what I do is similar to what you do with some of these markers. You put the static image, and then just have the audio in the background. That's so right, somebody wants to listen without having access to iTunes or whatever, then they can do it that way, which is, you know, ever since I've had the opportunity, I've put them all up there day and date, same as the audio version. And I did that and uploaded it. Now, usually on my previous internet connection at my old house, I used to have to leave it overnight because it was so fucking slow. And for this is like a 100 meg file. It's not a big file by video standards.
Yeah.
And I used to have to leave it on overnight to make sure it got done. Now it was done in 5 minutes It's incredible, like, the difference it's made, to the point where I was almost not ready for it to finish processing because I hadn't finished writing in all the notes.
Bloody hell.
It was actually almost out overtaking me. I'm lucky I had most of it copy and pasted.
You can come and live at my house and I use my 200. I never use it.
See, there's always one, isn't there?
Always.
We got a guy at work, right? On a similar subject, we got a guy at work. He lives in London. Now, obviously, he probably pays 8 times more for his rent than he should because he lives in London. But he does have gigabyte per second internet. Gigabit, I think it is. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's one gig internet. It's not just right. Like, so I'll say about how fast it is my connection. He's just like, oh, it takes 5 minutes, does it? That's a bit, you know, what do you do? I'm like, fuck off. It's like, well, at least, you know, I'm on social media, kind of a big deal, you know, whereas you're not even on Twitter. Not interested.
Okay, your opinion counts for nought.
How fast can you watch porn anyway?
I don't know. I got short attention.
Furiously. You want to be watching it in real time. You don't want to be speed fast forwarding it.
Who watches Absolutely porn not. Furiously, Steve?
I've not
There you go. There's something for your VR.
Yeah. Yes. Good God.
No.
Yeah. 4D.
Actually, no. We're almost... Mark and I's hearts are on the verge of collapse. We don't need VR porn.
I've heard your backs are on the verge of collapse.
Well, they are. Yeah, both of us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. How is yours, Mark? Better?
It's better, actually, yeah. I realised the other day I was walking the dog and I thought, I don't feel like I've been kicked in the balls, which was unusual because I was getting a lot of pain around my sort of hippage.
My back was in agony yesterday. We had to go, Jen wasn't feeling so well, so we had to go to one of those walk-in centres. And the nearest one is Gillingham. So we go there and it's packed out. There's big groups of people who are there together, like families and stuff. So obviously their kids aren't feeling well or whatever. And there's nowhere to sit down. So I had to stand for what turned out to be 2.5 hours.
Oh. Ooh, yeah, I'd be dead.
Yeah. Oh, I was in so much pain by the end. It was unreal. And it's not even, you know, it was bad enough that. And then one of the guys who had sat down when some seats became available realized that I wanted to sit next to Jen and let me sit down. I was like, oh, thanks, mate. That's very kind. I sit down and the chairs are shit. So I didn't actually help. And I just thought I would have much rather been at the convention down the road.
Yeah.
Walking around there. Anna Maria and Gloria. And Anna Maria and Gloria, if you're listening, I'm so sorry I didn't have a chance to make it down. But obviously, you know, needs must and all that. And I hope to catch up with you next time you're in town. If they do another Medway convention, for sure.
I think we'll probably see him. Well, we're going to Celebration this year, aren't we, Steve? We'll probably see him there.
Yes, we are.
Oh, you guys will, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
undoubtedly be there. Hopefully,
say hi from me.
We're gonna get we're getting Talk Star Wars shirts, Mark.
I think probably just lanyards because then I can. We don't have to spend so much money on.
No,
there
is that.
Yeah.
So yeah, get lanyards for the other guys. All right, Steve.
I'm gonna do, guys. I've got to go, but thanks for the evening. It was awesome.
Nice one.
Yeah, always good fun.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Steve. Right, Rob. Last week, we'll just wrap up just a couple of minutes. Last week, when we put this episode of the podcast out, the After Dark Side, I put an Aurabesh title on the cover art. Did you decode it?
I didn't. No, I'm very lapsed on my Aurabesh. I don't have a chance to speak it very often, and if you don't speak it very often, you just lose it. That's the trouble with languages.
That is it. Yeah, I only know the I know how to ask for a coffee, and I know swear words in Aurabesh, which is pretty much the same as any language, which is mostly use English.
It's trying to get a coffee in Aurabesh, very similar to how some people do it on the continent, which is to just point at it loudly and speak in basic.
Yeah, this is funny, actually. I was on holiday once, and I popped down to the bar to get a couple of drinks from me and Lisa, and there was this guy standing there. He was having a chit-chat to another slightly older guy, and they were doing the usual bullshit where they were saying words, but they actually weren't really covering anything of substance. And then the slightly more, how can I say it, chavier of the two got the barmaid's attention, opened his wallet, took out a label that he'd peeled off of a beer bottle and went, one of them. And I thought, that is just such an ignorant, and I wouldn't mind if it was some long, beautifully exotic foreign word, but it was Dorada. It wasn't even a difficult word to say. And you could say it in English and it would mean the same thing. And he still felt the need to peel the label off the bottle and then point at it and say, one of them.
You know what they say about people who peel the labels off bottles, don't you?
And serial killers?
It's a sign of sexual frustration, supposedly.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, well, that's it. So that obviously just goes to show when you said one of them, he's like, anything you can get, you'll have.
Yeah. I wondered if he had little laminated pictures of like a burger and chips. Cheese sandwich, maybe. Bag of crisps.
Hookers.
Just an when he goes absolutely to, you know, lazy
he
get, beast.
He goes to other, yeah, as he goes to other, bu- other buildings, just got a pick. You got this, is this girl working? I only know by the arse.
Anyway, we're talking about Aurabesh, weren't we? Yeah, so I put a title on the cover art last week in Aurabesh, and I'm going to do the same this week. And
all right, cool.
I don't know whether or not to give away... To reveal what the title is.
I have something we can give away.
Oh, we've got a giveaway to a listener.
And who gets it right? I can absolutely do this.
Oh, splendid. What you got?
So, I purchased the Humble Bundle Star Wars Edition last month, and I have some keys
for digital
games that I for digital keys for games that I had doubles of.
Ah, splendid.
So, yes. So, we can actually give something away here.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So, so here's the list of games I've got, and you can choose as the boss man. You can choose which game we give away on this occasion. So I have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to give away. So they're all superb. I will say that. They're all very good. So I have to choose from Knights of the Old Republic 1.
Right.
Knights of the Old Republic 2. The Empire at War Gold Pack. Dark Forces 1 and Dark Forces 2.
Right. Well, let's go for KOTOR 1 then, shall we?
KOTOR 1. All right,
let's
cool.
go. For, let's so, start at the top and we'll go for Knights of the Old Republic 1.
Sounds good.
And what are we going to do? What's the mechanic? Should we get people to just email us in?
If you tweet... email in with the subject... podcast, I don't know.
Yeah, After Dark Side title.
After Dark, yeah. Okay, so the subject is After Dark Side, and you give us the title. Is it going to be the same one that from previous week?
No.
Until somebody gets it.
Let's the title on episode 2 of the After Dark Side.
Yes.
Was who you're going to call, because one of the trailers we discussed was Ghostbusters.
Right. Ghostbusters.
So yes. This week I will put a brand new show specific. Title in Urabesh on the front cover. The first person to translate it back to English and send that to us in an email. And if you put in your subject header,
After Dark Side,
and then title, and in the body of your email, give us the answer, and you will win Rob's digital key for Knights of the Republic 1.
Yep, free copy of Knights of the Republic 1. Yes, that works out well.
Okay, that's great stuff. Oh, well, there you go.
So where do they need to email us?
They need to email us at talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com, which is talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. Subject, After Dark Side title.
Cool. Perfect. And the prize, to reiterate, the prize is a PC and Mac code for Star Wars Knights of the Republic 1.
There you go. So send us your solution to this week's Urabesh title. And win a game.
Yep.
Nice one. Thank you for that, Rob. Okay, everyone, contact details, as always, are in the description to this show.
Yes.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.